Morning. That was quick. Sure. Morning, Trinity. How's everybody? We want to give out a big thanks to those who participated in, volunteered for, and donated to Touch a Truck yesterday. And the PTL team and the pastoral team appreciate very much your services and even just attending and having a wonderful time. So we're greatly appreciative of this, and thank you so much. It was, again, a wonderful success. Please rise and greet each other with a warm handshake, a pleasant smile, maybe a hug.
Good morning.
No frowns, please.
Bob?
I thought he was taking one of those out. I was like, oh, he was just taking out the back.
Okay.
It's on mute.
Okay, well, we can share for right now because we'll have to go in too.
It's not working?
Low battery. We'll share for right now.
Oh,
that
problem? Oh.
Low battery.
Just share.
Here comes some help.
We can share this one.
Gosh. You start?
I would.
Yeah. Okay, as part of our exercise program, please rise again as we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. It is a joyful, wonderful season as we continue in Lent, and please join us in singing Joyful, Joyful. One, two, three.
I think we should play another verse of that. The congregation filled up. We'll turn around again and there'll be more. God is so good as we come into His presence today. We think of the presence of God and how we were one day stand along with many who've already passed that way, who've seen the face of their beautiful Savior already, who possess life everlasting, who possess and see and held in their hands and their life, a life filled with life itself, where there's no more sickness or suffering. And for that we give you thanks, Lord. As we come here, however, we're saddened by the things that are not, the things that even we are at fault for. And we ask you, Lord, as we bow down, as we come into your presence, with the tears of sadness for what we have done and what we've left undone, a life that has been spent going in wrong directions in some ways, the meaning and purpose of life that has escaped us because we weren't looking at you. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us, but also to free us and help us to join you and to walk in your ways all the days of our life. So today, Lord, I pray for every one of us gathered here that the joy of our salvation would be restored and renewed and replaced and replenished inside of us, that we would leave this place new men, new women, a new creation that you are fashioning, Jesus. In your holy name, be with us and bless us. Amen.
You may be seated now. Please remember the cards in the pews, the blue and the yellow. The yellow, if you have something on your heart you'd like the congregation to pray with you about, an elder will pick those up in a little later in the service. Join us now in song.
I once was lost.
like to invite our scripture reader forward now. Amy?
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise with the discernment of the discerning, I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel this day is recorded in the book of St. John, chapter 2. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who had sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So the Jews said to him, What sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, It has taken us 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Here ends the reading of our gospel. You may be seated.
Ken will deliver the announcements.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Clay had talked about the toucher truck. We had all kinds of kids running around up the trucks, down the trucks, beeping the horns. It was a good time. The outreach committee gave away a Tonka truck and a Barbie car, and just so happens they had to count jelly beans in a jar, and the boy got it right on, and the girl missed it by five. So we'll be getting in contact with them and let them know that they won. Monday, tomorrow at 6:30, is another Campus Development Task Force meeting. If you'd like to join us to find out what we found out about the Magnolia Building and the moves that are going to be made. The next is the Walk with Jesus on the 24th at 9 o'clock. It's for family, friends, the parents come with the kids and enjoy about 5-6 stations of walking with Jesus, starting with Good Friday and going all the way into the resurrection. There's forms in the back for registration, and also there's a palm tree with leaves on there with things that we need. If you so kindly would take one and bring it back. And the last thing is Lenten continues on Wednesday. It's 12:10 and 7 o'clock. And before the 7 o'clock service, we have Lenten soup dinner. So please join us. Thank you.
This one's too low. This one's too high. Well, I'm not going to do Goldilocks, so. Well, we're glad to be here with you, and it's so good to see God's people in God's house. And it was a wonderful day yesterday as we celebrated Touch a Truck. And it was fun. If you've never touched a truck, you should have been here. And it was really great. A lot of volunteers. I'd like to personally thank you for that. Today's message is from the book of 1 Corinthians 1. It's the epistle lesson, so if our projectionist could make sure we're at the epistle, that would be great. There's a sermon notes inside of the weekly bulletin. It helps pass the time, I've been told. And so if you'd like to follow along that. And then also the Pew Bibles are just in front of you. Either way, we're going to get into God's Word together. So pray with me. Lord and Savior Jesus, may you bless all who are gathered here this day, and may you bless the words of my mouth that you've given. May we come closer to understanding what it is you're teaching us this day and how to walk from here as new creations, but as people who are drawn closer to you and the power of salvation in your cross. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved by it, it is the power of God. And Paul further writes, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. The word of the cross is folly, foolishness, for those who are perishing. The world asks, how does the cross bring hope when it ends in death? You know, as a pastor and as a Christian, as an evangelist, I welcome such question from pre-believers because it provides an opportunity for the gospel to be shared. I might ask them, what do you mean by the cross ends in death? I, as a Christian, believe that the cross didn't end in death, but rather began with death. The death of God's own Son is just the beginning of this story. And it was upon that cross that Christ paid for all of your sins and all of mine. The world's sins, in fact, were paid for upon that cross. You and I would otherwise spend eternity separated from God and all of His goodness, and our destiny would not be heaven, but rather hell. As a Christian, I believe that God rescued you and me from all of this. No, the cross didn't end in death, but it rather began. And just like Paul Harvey says, you have to know the rest of the story. That's what they need to hear. The historical fact, my friends, is that from a guarded and sealed tomb that was guarded by the very people who had pierced Jesus' hands and feet and placed upon him a cross and saw him die, and who stuck a spear into his side just to make sure he was done, that he died, that he'd given up his last breath. Those people now were guarding his tomb. And if you remember this story, that is a historical story, that the guards were found to be trembling and in fear as they found that the stone had been rolled away that they'd been guarding. And that inside of the tomb were angels, and as the women who had come to bury the body of Jesus, they saw him to be alive. And then later that day, Jesus is walking with three disciples who were from Emmaus, a town about 7 miles away. And as they walked there towards Emmaus, they found that Jesus was, unbeknownst to them, the one who was traveling with them. And those disciples started telling this sojourner all the things that had transpired in Jerusalem. And they said, can you not remember? Did you not hear? And he opens up and he asks the questions, do you not know that the Son of Man had to suffer these things? Had to suffer and die and would be raised on the third day? Have you not read in the scriptures? And he opened up the scriptures to them. And as they'd invited him to stay and have fellowship and bread with him, they found that he had vanished from their midst. And so excited because they had received the one words of the Lord, who was really no longer dead but was alive, they ran and returned back. Those sleepy disciples, they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the other 12, now 11. There they found that the women had already spoken to these disciples and told them that Jesus was alive. There behind those locked doors, the disciples shrunk back in fear, worrying that the Romans were coming or that the Jews would come and surround them and take their lives as well. Who appears? Jesus. And he was alive. He appeared no longer as the one who had died, but the one who is now living and standing behind those locked doors with them. And he showed them his hands and his side, and he said, "It is me. Do you have something to eat?" Jesus was alive. The cross that it seemed would end in death was just the beginning of a new life. A new life and a new victory, not only for Jesus, but for you and for me. The cross is the dunamis, you can say, the dynamite of God that God's word tells us about, because it tells us about overcoming death. It overcomes damnation and sin, death and the devil. The cross is truly a beginning. It's nothing now that can separate us from God himself. The cross is the dynamite that makes sinners into saints, children of wrath into children of the Heavenly Father, heathens into those who are heaven-bound. The power of the cross is your salvation and is mine. And that's why Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the very next chapter, "I am determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul writes here in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 1, "Where is the one who is so wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through folly of what we preach to save those who would believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But for those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Imagine, if you will, a group of scientists that had emerged, paleontologists, anthropologists, and all archaeologists, and all kinds of science that was gathered to emerge to come up with the one answer about how the world emerged, how it came to life. And so everybody had been studying for years on end. It was publicized as a breakthrough research that would one day, once and for all, clarify how the earth had its earliest of all beginnings. And the research found that they had gathered a group of scientists from around the world, and that they would all come and make this announcement at one time in this one place. And the lead scientist came first, and he said, "You must understand these facts. The earth mass appeared first, then water, then sun, then sea creatures, then mammals and the like. But the big announcement the press was to make that day was announced. The press gathered. They had pens pressed to their pads of paper, recalling and wanting to capture every word. The cameras were clicking away as the scientists came to the stage and addressed the crowd. The lead scientist said, "The earth has intelligent design." A Christian pastor sitting in the crowd waited for more. He heard nothing else said. That was it. And the Christian pastor stood and he said, "Would you like to meet the designer? I know him personally by name. His name is Jesus. The one who by all of this was made, by him, for him, and through him, as we read in the Gospel of John. Consider your calling, brothers." Paul writes, "As many of you were wise, not wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of us were powerful. Not many of us were from noble birth. But God chose us as the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what was weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose the low things and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that the human being might not boast in the presence of God and boast that they are in the Lord. As you and I start to look at it, we must understand, my friends, that we are those who are believers. We are the ones who, by the Holy Spirit, have been called into faith, washed clean in the waters of baptism, fed upon the body and blood of our Lord in the Holy Supper, hearing the words of God unto salvation, that God has engendered in our hearts a faith and a belief that says, when we die, we will be in heaven, not because of what we've done, but because of Him, Jesus, and all that He has done upon that foolish cross that has given us forgiveness, that has given us life, that has given us hope, that has given us all that we have. Consider how God works, my friends. He chose the Israelites, the smallest and weakest of all nations, to be His chosen people. Through God, working through the Israelites, all the powerful nations of the world were brought to their knees. The plagues that plundered Egypt and the Red Sea that drowned the mightiest army in the world as Moses stretched out a stick at the Red Sea and the waters that had allowed them to part in safety were now returned and drowned the entire Egyptian army. Jesus didn't look at the king's court or the highest and most noble or the wealthiest. When He chose His 12 disciples, He went on a journey that walked towards the fishermen, mending their nets upon the shore. He would choose those who would be those who would launch the world's largest religious movement the world has ever known. Christianity, even today, the largest world religion, was started by 12 people and our Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't of noble birth. They didn't have power or prestige or wealth to bring with them. In fact, the scripture tells us they were uneducated men, fishermen and tax collectors. Jesus Himself, the son of a virgin, who became married to a carpenter named Joseph. And Jesus Himself, the King of Kings, was born in a stable and would die upon a cross made of wood. All of that seemed foolishness to the world, but is that which changed the world for all time. Jesus, the one who was alive, who overcame death and the grave because of the power of God working through Him to save the world and to forgive sins and to draw us unto Himself. My story? I was born in a house in Iowa, a little tiny town. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad, a surveyor for bridges and roads for the county. He did that for years. My mom, when she was raised, was really not raised in a strong Christian home. My grandfather used to think, if you want to be baptized, simply go out and look up to the heavens if it's raining and say, "Thank you, God." Later in life, he became a believer. But my mom, when she got married to my dad, she went through adult instruction. And after being confirmed several months later, at my birth, we were baptized together. And from that humble beginning, I remember my mom raising me and my dad, and my mom would sit me down reading those Bible stories that she bought, a book of Bible stories from Halsey Supermarket, because they were unspecial. And she told me the things of Jesus. She told me the forgiveness of Christ. And she scared me one day when she told me about the angel of death. I just beat up on my sister. And then I found out that there's this angel that went throughout Israel and the Egyptians, and that angel of death, if they didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, you know, bad stuff happened. And I thought for sure that angel was still hanging out. It was going to find me. And so I hid out for a while until I told my mom about it, and she said, "Doug, you're forgiven. I want you to know, you're forgiven. You might be hiding out from God right now, wondering what in the world you can do with the sins in your life and how you can get rid of them. The angel of death is the good news that through the power of the cross, the blood of the Lamb was put upon the doorpost of the homes in Egypt. But I want you to know the blood of the Lamb was shed for you upon the cross of Christ. That the angel of death has passed you over. You live today in safety with the promise of eternity, living forever in heaven with Christ Himself. That's the power of the cross." As you and I look at those words, we start to see that no human being might boast in the presence of God, because in Christ you have the wisdom from God, the righteousness, being made right with God, and the sanctification, meaning you've been made holy by the blood of the Lamb, and redemption, you've been bought with the blood of the Lamb, so that as it is written, "Let none of us boast in the Lord." Our job is simply to share what the world seems to think is so foolish and let them know that we believe in that Jesus who died upon a cross and was raised from death to life so that we might have life everlasting, and to raise our hand and say, "Yes, I believe. I hope you do too." And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The offering will be collected at this time. Please join us in song if you like. Lord and Savior Jesus, we come before your throne of mercy,
and of grace. We ask, O Lord, that you would hear our prayers that are spoken this time and also those that will be unspoken. As we stand in your presence, Lord, we give you thanks for all that you've done. We thank you for enduring the shame, the suffering, the pain of the cross. And you did that for us so that we could receive the promise that you have given us through the resurrection and through the payment you made upon that cross. We thank you for the pardon of our sins, the peace that we have with you and God the Father and the Holy Spirit as well, that we will spend eternity with you in a heavenly mansion prepared for us. But here in this life, we'll not only be forgiven, but also freed from sins that entangle us so easily. We have the hope of living life and living it abundantly. And we have the joy of serving in your stead and in your kingdom so that others might know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, now hear the prayers that have been requested on behalf of our members.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your blessings and bring forward the prayers and supplications of your people. Lord, we ask for your blessing of healing for Tom, for successful surgery and recovery, and for Bunky, for continued medical concerns, and for Eva, who is still in the hospital and in pain. We pray for all of those who are battling flu, pneumonia, and bronchitis. We bring forward Terry, who is undergoing additional testing. Lord, be with them and heal them and bless them with your peace and comfort. Lord, we bring forward Gary, who was diagnosed with lung and liver cancer that's inoperable. Lord, be with Gary, giving him comfort, peace, and a close walk with you. Lord, we ask for your blessing on Brittany, awaiting the birth of her child. Be with her and comfort her. And Lord, we give you thanks for Valerie, for her continued healing, for Gladwin, for successful heart surgery, and for Marcy, for her test that came back negative. Lord, we give you thanks for answering these prayers and for continued healing and blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, help us to be an instrument in your hands of bringing the good news to those in our world that we know don't have it. As we imagine them at this moment in our eyes and minds, may you help us to seek out ways in which to share this wondrous good news. Empower us, Lord, to bravely stand and speak your love in word and in deed. Lord, we ask this in your holy name as we now pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he blessed it, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always."
And also with you.
You may be seated. Thank you.
altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. It cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for making us alive, spiritually, and physically, and eternally, and abundantly. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Receive now the benediction of our Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord himself lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Join us in song as we joyfully finish the service.
In you, you make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take, I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you.
Waves of mercy,
waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me.
And serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.